Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Come on, remain standing. Give the Lord a big hand today. I believe that we've experienced, or are beginning to experience, what worship is all about. Merry Christmas to you all. This is going to be a great day, a great day. We're going to go into Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9, and this is the last, it's a three-part series on the grace of giving, or today we're going to talk about extravagant giving. Amen. What that really means, and just a little short passage of scripture that you'll find in Mark, and also it's repeated in a more political fashion in the book of Luke. But I just want to take these few verses, and today we're going to speak to the issue of what does it mean to be extravagant? What it means to be over the top, or whatever that happens to be? So we'll pick it up at verse 3, and you'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they criticized her sharply. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good, but me you do not have always. Let's do verse 9 together. Assuredly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial for her. Let's pray. Lord, today we want to memorialize the real gracious, extravagant giving that I don't think we really truly understand. Lord, I pray today that as I just look into your words, we look in it together, that we'll discover something about giving that really it's a God idea, but more than a God idea, it's an ideal that we should strive for, that we may learn how to give the way that you give. Lord, we can't give on the magnitude that you've given, but Lord, there's something about the Spirit that needs to be connotate, and the end result will be worship. Oh God, show us today, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. We give you all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, when you examine this particular portion of Scripture a little bit closely, you'll take note of the fact that the center of controversy revolves around a gift that was determined too extravagant. It was just too much. It was over the top. It was unacceptable. And not only was the gift an issue, but the person who gave it encountered total disdain and a sense of reasoning because of her notoriety in the community. Whether you realize it or not, every gift, regardless of the size or the assessed value, comes from God and is not contingent upon the person who gives it or receives it, but its established value or its worth. I don't know how you shop in this type of thing. I am a thrifty shopper. Oh, yes, I do. I'm going to get as much as I can, most bang for the buck as I can, but there's some things you just don't skimp on. Can I get an amen? Cheap methods produce cheap results in some ways. Some things you say, I'm going to pay the money because it's going to be worth every bit of it. Let's look at this from an examination point. My first point is this. What do you desire to receive from the person you give a gift to? You say, oh, I don't want anything. Oh, yes, you do. You want acknowledgement. And if they don't acknowledge it the way you think it should be acknowledged, you're going to have an attitude from this point on till Jesus comes. So really, we don't give anything. It's kind of an exchange. It's kind of like we're baiting people to see how courteous they are or how appreciative they are. I'm not going to tarry there for a moment because I got plenty for you. Here we go. Number two, does the value of the gift you give reflect proportionally your relationship to the recipient? In other words, is it a Kmart special or did you go to Nordstrom? And I don't mean that from the standpoint of you should feel bad of either one of them, but the idea behind it, but some way, the way we think is we feel like if I go to this particular place, if I put it in a Nordstrom bag, you know what I'm talking about, and you've done it before. Yes, you have. You come from Nordstrom's? Came from Dollar Tree. I'm moving on. Does it make you uncomfortable to receive a gift that you believe you do not deserve? I'm getting into the real essence of things. If it doesn't, there's probably something that's jilted in the way that you were raised. Because as much as we think that we deserve a whole lot, or we're worthy of a whole lot of things, really there's a place we can get to when someone gives something to us, oh my goodness, what did I do to deserve this? I'll give you the answer to that. Nothing. By the way, let me give you a little update on some people that gave a few weeks ago. For the people, as a matter of fact, that money's on its way down to California to the people who were devastated by the campfire. But there was one lady that responded. I'll leave her as anonymous. And this lady could not afford to give. I know she can't afford to give. But she was one of those people that gave $20. Either before, during the service or after the service, I won't tell you which. Let me tell you what Jesus did. Even though she couldn't afford to give, she gave that $20 with no expectation whatsoever. Within 3 days, God multiplied it times 50 and gave her $1,000. That she needed to meet her needs and then beyond that particular point. I want to tell you, it's not about giving. It's not like giving is an investment program. But God knows your heart. And when you give something, I'll tell you one thing, you cannot outgive God. No, don't even try. Because God knows the sincerity of the heart of an individual. Well, let's get into the story here. Every gift that is given in the right spirit comes from God. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 and 25. Let's get into this. God who made the world and everything that is in it, since he is the Lord of the heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Okay, this is Paul talking to a group of folks. Nor is he worshipped by men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Everything you have, God gave it to you. Amen. I don't know what you're talking about. I worked hard to get everything. Who gave you the breath to get up to go to work? I want you to get over it today. You have deserved of nothing, that God has given you everything you have right now. What you're driving, what you're living in, what you'll have in the future. Let's get this thing resolved. Amen. And so this deal is that before we attempt to give anything away, we must recognize where it came from. So when you're kind of, have two items in your hands, should I give her this one? I can save $50 if I give her that one. Or this type of thing. Let the Holy Spirit dictate to you how you give. And this is going to be threaded through this entire message, and I hope it'll find a home plate with you. Everything comes from God. And if it comes from God, I believe that our best should be incorporated in that particular philosophy. It all belongs to him. We are all recipients of the love of God and his benevolent bestowment upon it, gracious giving upon us. But our very lives come from him. Amen. One writer put it this way: in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Nothing outside of God. Who woke you up this morning? I said, my alarm clock. My wife woke me up. She said, kind of get together. We're going to be late. I'll tell you what, she could shake you all day long, but if God didn't put breath in your body, you're going to lay right there. Amen. I'm going to get it real today. Our heart, but here's the thing about it. He could not demand, this is one thing about God. He could demand from us, but he doesn't. He could have commanded you to praise him this morning, but he didn't. But I saw the overflow of praise just kind of wafting over this congregation of people that when Shante was leading us in worship and Pastor Paul was just kind of joining, the band was joining in, something within you responded to who the Lord is. Our heart is not automatically programmed to love and serve God, serve him. We aren't programmed. But there's something about the live responsibility or response of the Holy Spirit that permeated the culture of this environment that somehow you had to respond. And so this whole message today is about extravagant giving. While giving from our heart is the only giving that is recognized regardless of the recipient, from their heart, from the expression. John 3:16 describes the formula for giving in the words, so loved. You all know the scripture, for God so loved that he, that whosoever should not but have. Wow. The part, don't skip over it too fast, he so loved. And there's that part is so easy, I think difficult for us to understand, is how do you love somebody so much that you give the very best that you have? So loved. That's without reservation. So loved goes beyond, far beyond the emotional impulse. Because I believe that there was a great thought process, if that's indeed how God resolves issues. Is it, when I give up my son for the whole world, that's the best that I have. There's nothing greater. But this world is in need of a savior. I want to give it to him. When you're going through the process of whether you should or you shouldn't go back and forth as far as that's concerned, the only way that will be resolved is if you so love. Amen. To the point where you won't resist. How about this? So loved giving involves the possibility of receiving of the gift without acknowledgement of the giver. Oh. I don't want you to raise your hand on this one. Please don't, because they're probably in the room. Ever given a gift to someone and they didn't acknowledge it? Can I ask you, how did you feel? Totally validated. Well, you know, some people forget. You know how some people are just a little forgetful. Well, that's perfectly fine. You are still mad today. I mean, you don't show it. You're not really manifesting. But some around the easy, every time you see them, something just kind of rises up in you. You have to push it down. So don't choke her. Don't choke her. Let me move on. So love giving releases the recipient from the obligation of thankful appreciation. If God decided tomorrow, if these folks don't get it together and thank me for sending Jesus, I'm going to take them off the planet. But he doesn't. Because in a few moments, I think I'm going to give you the discovery of what giving or the foundation of giving is all about. Well, let's get back to the woman. The woman who gave the alabaster box to Jesus came with one thing in mind, and the one thing in mind was to give to Jesus. Now, if that was your intent in when you give things away, no one can take that joy from you. If you have to search someone out or find where they live or if they moved and you had to forwarding address and saying, I've got to get this to them. There's something about I want to give. And you know, when you get to the place when you feel like you've been deprived, when you're not able to give, you will discover the heart of God. So here's this woman. I can just imagine this. She's coming to Simon the leper's house. And isn't it kind of interesting that they put that into the text, Simon the leper's house? Now, obviously, Simon did not have leprosy at this point, or nobody be at his house. But his identity of Simon the leper never left him because of what Jesus had done in his life. So Mary finds out that Jesus is there, and I don't know how she got into the particular place. I don't think she really asked for any, you know, access, but something drove her to the particular point that she goes into the house and she begins this process of giving to Jesus. I want to shift that thing and shift it to you today. Because for the rest of our message, we're going to talk about what worship really looks like. So Her focus was not on her past, which might have been, prevented her from being in the presence of others at Lifestyles, but her gift was offered in response to what had already been done, she had already received from Jesus. Is your gift to try to motivate, or is your gift to try to appreciate? I believe the gifts that we give to people as a sign of appreciation for what they've already done for us are the most lasting ones we'll ever give. If you give out of appreciation, somehow it's the fact where you're not expecting anything from them. It's the fact that you've already done something for me, and I really want to thank you for that, and I want to be a person who really is honorable over what you've already given a sacrifice for me. Well, what about this? Her gift was offered in response to what she'd already received from Jesus, and that particular factor of presenting her gift led her to a place of, here's the word we're going to focus in on, worship. That those present could watch and be overcome by the fragrance that would fill the room. Did you not know that a few moments ago, you experienced the greatest gift that we can give to God? Worship. An overflow, a deposit in the presence of all that are here, a response to what he's already done, and we unabandoned, or without abandonment, we worship him and acknowledge what he's done. Well, whenever we give to whomever, we give it as worship. You say, what? They worship me out of socks? And some of you line up at Fred Meyer's to go to the sock, you know, sale. I have never, I knew that out there. I have seen people push folks down, knock folks over a pair of socks. That's America. I got to leave it alone because I'll just get on the wrong street. Well, let me tell you this much. Without the blessing of the Lord in our lives, we would have nothing to give. I'm going to get it down to the basics. Without God blessing you, you have the tree would be naked. I didn't say naked, I said naked. That's the way my wife says it, naked. She's from down south. In Oregon, we say naked, but in Texas, they say naked. So it's naked. Thank God. But here's the thing. Jesus shapes our and moves our hearts away from ourselves to want to give and to bless others from the resources that he has given to us. There's something about it you just can't, you know, God has blessed you and you want to give. You really want to. Now, here's my confession. I'm a one-day shopper. One day. My wife shops all year long. I'm one day. I start a certain time, I end at a certain time, I got my list made out, and that's it. If it don't happen that one day, it ain't gonna happen until next year. In Jesus' name. I can devote that much time. Now you know the insight of how this works. But the whole issue that we're trying to get to is the cost, Jesus allows us to meet a need. I think you'll enjoy this. Jesus allows us, when we're giving, to meet a need or sow a seed. Amen. Either you know they already need it and you give it to them, or you sow a seed within them that lets them know that I appreciate you beyond what you even thought you were worth. Let me sow a seed into you that will incite you to say that someone's thinking about you when times you wouldn't even think about yourself. Well, the cost of the gift need not be a point of controversy, because 1 year's wages to Mary was nothing in comparison to one moment in the presence of Jesus. Can I get real with all of us? What we experienced a few moments ago in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of worship, there are people in the world who would love to just have one moment like that, but they can't. Their government, the political climate, all different types of things of not being able to gather, not being able to even assemble together with that type of worship. It's not available to them. I think the appreciation we've lost for really being able to give or to receive is pretty toxic at this point, that we're not able to respond to it. When we have truly given, there is no regret once we leave the presence of the recipient. Isn't that interesting? When you put it on their porch, or you put it in their mailbox, or you put it in their hand, once you've released it, something about it, it's almost like it's a freedom to say, now, I want you to have this. In the same way that God sent Jesus and gave him for us, even though all the things that we treated him or mistreated him or we haven't even appreciated it, God does not regret having given Jesus to us. Pretty amazing. Well, pride will take the offense to worship when it's fueled by self-righteous judgment. You see it in the story. Mary comes in, she's doing her thing, she breaks the alabaster box, it fills the comfort of the whole room as far as it's concerned, and immediately, here come the vigilantes. What? What? And I'm sure Judas was the one who led the riot. This could have been sold. This is, you know, it was worth 360 denarii. This is comparable to a year's wages. And this woman has wasted this stuff on Jesus' feet. Oh, and he's just frantic. Let's get to this. We all came in this room today, but I have a question for you. Did you really come to worship him? Or did you come because it was Sunday? Or did you come because it was Christmas? And worship kind of happened, kind of snuck up on you. You said, I'm here, I might as well worship. Well, Shantae's excited, I might as well join in the band. Oh, I'm going to tell it like it is. You're like, yes. No, I planned to really worship. Like, no, you didn't. You were up here, you dry as a piece of wood. Somebody has a little fire on you. Well, that's another part of the story. I'm sorry. But here's one thing that I think will be helpful. Pride will take offense when it is fueled by self-righteous judgment. Well, comparing our style of worship with others. Because, see, now Shantae's up here. She's going for it, and her heel, I don't know how her heel stays on her shoe. Reinforcements. But I guarantee you there were some of you out there saying, it don't take all that, Shantae. Cool it down, girl. And you up there just dry as shucks. I can't wait till this is over. This is way too much for me. Join in. You'd have a wonderful time. All you folks out there just kind of coasting. Just one more verse that she might be over. And I loved it when you got to reprise it. Some of those people that were miserable, take them for another ride. One more time around the block. Here we go, baby. Crank it up. Oh, Jesus. Comparing our style of worship with the worship of others. That's what these folks are doing. They say, Mary, what is wrong with you? Girl, it don't take all that. And of course, but here's one thing I love about the woman. She couldn't take it back to Macy's. She broke the bottle. It's done and over with. I want to tell you, when you come to the house of the Lord, don't worry about it. Leave it all here. Yeah. Say, well, you know, I should put a little note. Honey, break the bottle. Let it out. The inhibition of worship because of who is around us is a thing that will catch a lot of us. Oh, get ready. No, I don't care if we're ready or not. Don't really matter to me. Some of you did not enter to worship because your spouse was here. I don't want my baby to think I'm crazy. You don't know what she's thinking, but I think she's crazy is one of the things that she never told you about. Or I don't want to seem overly emotional. And some of you have fought back tears for years that should have been flowing in the house of God because you didn't want people to know that there's a soft spot in you. I want to tell you, you haven't worshiped until you've given it all over. until you broke the box, until there's nothing left, until you've allowed God to do what he wants to do, worship will never come out of your life. And you're letting other people inhibit you. Some of you would have worshiped a certain way, but you saw your boss walk down the center aisle. You were expecting him today, and you got to hold yourself together. Woo, I don't want him to think I'm into this. I might lose my job. I'm just trying to help you. This is therapy. The spirit of Judas can occupy the heart of those who take offense to abandonment and worship. I want to tell you who you're of. Judas was a betrayer of Jesus all along the way, and he's stealing money from the offering. And the guy's just no good. And I'm confident he was one of those that spoke up, if not the only person that spoke up, and said, "What a waste this is. There's more money he couldn't steal." But let me get to another place. If Jesus calls it good, don't call it bad. Mark chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. We'll read this again. But Jesus said to her, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? For she has done a good work for me." I want to serve notice on you folks that are so hypercritical of folks that are in here. You need to be quiet. I was going to say shut up. Be quiet. It's Christmas time. I'm using my good works. Now, am I calling for chaotic, out of control, people just doing anything they want to do, just, running laps around the building whenever they feel like it? I'm not calling for that. But I'm talking about the genuine expression of people wanting to really share what's in their heart. Would you allow the blocks to be broken? It'll fill the room. It'll affect everyone. The influence is pretty impacting. Well, gifts that are given from the heart are not subject to the examination of those who are not privy to the relationship between the gift and the giver. I was raised in a rather demonstrative church, Pentecostal church, and I used to wonder why people would get up and start waving their hands and someone would just kind of do a little bit of a dance with someone. Oh, Jesus. I'm thinking, what is wrong with that woman? You don't know what they've been through. You don't know how far God has brought them. Believe me, this is not a message toward fanaticism. But sometimes when God gets a hold of you, or you allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do, there's something that the Lord says that sometimes the rocks will cry out, for some of you will. But I believe that God will validate those things. Well, others that were present were obviously, oblivious to her worship of giving. She was focused on Jesus and expressing her love to him. Isn't it wonderful? And we should be thankful that we have this opportunity, not just in New Song, but other churches around the city where we can really express ourselves in the way that God has desired for us to be able to do so. But transitioning into this thought, what about this? Self-abandonment must be a real part of what, why, and who we give to. That means the financial investment must be resolved. There are people, when they come through these doors, and call it financial, call it whatever you want to. But if you feel like you come through these doors today and you have to hold back a little bit for yourself, I guarantee you, you will not experience what God wants you to experience. It's just in the same way that I need to go back to the lady that gave the $20 who couldn't afford to give it, by the way, at all. But something caught her heart, says, I have an opportunity to give. It wasn't a fact of trying to show off, because that wasn't showing off. Matter of fact, if you look at it from a rational standpoint, that was stupid. You're giving $20 and you don't have gas money in your pocket to make it home? That's stupid. But somehow, God had a plan. If you ever stifle giving or stifle worship, it will not work to your advantage. Matter of fact, it will cripple you in your relationship with Jesus. I'll finish this up in a moment and you'll understand where we're coming from. Well, the perspective of other people should not be a hindrance, and scrutiny of our motives should not prohibit our expression. Here's one. Her heart was an expression of eternal obligation that could not be suppressed. I'm going to go to the Old Testament for this to help you folks from Old Testament lineage to be validated. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 22 through 24. Then David said to Ornan, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. And you shall grant it to me at the full price, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people." Let's hold on that verse for just a moment. Look at me. Don't look for a discount in worship. Because some of you do. Well, I know. I'm going to wave at God, but I'm not putting up both hands. I'm just not into it today, you know. Want a little discount. Okay, Jesus. Hi. It's me. He says, I want full price. I want to be totally vested in what's going to happen here. Don't give me a discount. Don't give me special consideration. Go to the next verse, 23. But Ornan said to David, "Take it to yourself and let my lord the king do what is good in his eyes." Watch that. "Look, I also give you the oxen for the burnt offering and the threshing implements for wood and the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all." Stop right there. So basically, he's saying, don't worry about it. I got you. I got you covered. You can have it all. You have oxen and threshing floor. You can have, you know, all things with the wood and the wheat for the grain offering. He says, I'm going to give it to you for free. Let me tell you something. Before you walked in this church, if somebody put $50 in your hand or $100 in your hand or $1,000 in your hand and you bring it to the offering, you have given up nothing. He said, what? They gave me $1,000, I gave it to you. No. It didn't cost you a thing. See, some of us come to the house of God and we think we worship God and it cost us nothing. Let's go to verse 24. It'll help you. Then David said to Ornan, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor a burnt offerings which cost me nothing." Oh, so worship should cost you something. He said, "Oh, it didn't cost me anything. I'm great." I'm not talking about the fact that you feel oppression or you feel beaten down or you feel like you're exhausted, but it's investing in the house of God. No sacrifice was too great. No price was too great. The woman, she says her expression of worship was given as though it was her only opportunity. Do you realize that as far as you know, the worship you just experienced today is your only opportunity? You may never get another one. Here's my question. Did you give your best? Could I get a rerun? Oh, no. I want to put something in your spirit, and I hope you never forget it. Whenever you come to the house of God, give your best worship, because you may never get that chance again. Oh, I'm just a little tired today. I'll let the singers do all the worshiping. Next time, I'll catch you next time around. Really? I won't offer to the Lord something that cost me nothing. Through your pain, through your difficulty, through all the things you've gone through, are you willing to lift your hands and say, but God, you're still good, and in spite of it all, in spite of how I feel, in spite of how I think, in spite of my financial situation, I'm going to worship you anyway. Well, her obligation of sacrifice was birthed out of thanks and praise to the Lord. We're just about there. She knew who Jesus was before he came into her life. She no doubt heard about him. She experienced acceptance and forgiveness. Now, can I just use that on us? In spite of what we've done, in spite of how we've handle ourselves. Jesus, through his death on the cross, has made a pathway for us to be accepted in the beloved of God. All your sins, all your sorrows, all your mistakes, all your on-purpose stuff, Jesus took to the cross and he took care of all of it. Well, she gave what could not be given back. You know, there's a breaking that I believe that is happening and should happen to all of us. That when we come to the house of God and we have this precious container, whatever it may be, you picture it in your own mind. My question is, are you willing to break it and let the fragrance fill the room, knowing that you'll never have that same thing again? It's a one-time deal. You can't get a rerun on this. Or purpose giving goes far beyond the monetary expense, and good gifts come from a great sacrifice and can be experienced by many that are around. Do you know that the overflow of your worship will spill over on me? That would maybe not be your intent. But when we're in that presence of God, we all add a little bit as far as in a corporate worship situation, that the joy that you're experiencing, or the sacrifice, or even the weeping that you're experiencing, somehow it touches me. It's not like we're little separate modules in here just kind of doing our own thing. But the corporate worship experience is that when your tears are flowing or when your hallelujah is flowing, somehow I get to be a part of that. Would you stop cheating me? Would you stop holding back? Would you stop doing this so we can have an experience together that where Jesus gets all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise? Would you stop doing that? It'll be a great experience for all of us. Well, pretty amazing. Extravagant giving will ultimately lead to worship. Our gift of worship to Jesus can only be given when we seize the opportunity and forget about the cost. Well, our gift of extravagance to the Lord will be unique to us. I gotta tell you a little story. It may mean nothing to you, but it means everything to me. In my little dresser drawer at home, I have a pair of red socks. To you, they'll probably be the ugliest pair of socks you have ever seen in your life. But if you call them ugly, I'll probably slap you. Because my mama gave me those socks. And she died in 93, and I've had those socks, and it was 20 years before that. I had the socks for a long time. And you know where she bought them from? Finger Hut. Anybody know what Finger Hut is? You know Finger Hut. Finger Hut has the most ugly things on this planet, but they sell them. And she got them in a box and stuff. I remember when the Finger Hut thing came to the house, and she reached in and she went to the trouble. She wrapped those socks up. And she gave me those ugly red socks. I can call them ugly. You call them ugly, I'll take you out. Mama wanted me to have those. I still got them. And every time I see them, I think of Mama, and she wanted me to have that. And she is so proud of the fact she gave them to me, you know, as far as that's concerned. You know, it's not about the Red Sox. It's about the person who gave it to me, who wanted me to have it, whose heart was wrapped up in that situation. See, to you, they don't mean anything. They mean everything to me. Well, be careful not to judge the worship of others that's different from yours. We must not be afraid of the response of other people to our worship and giving. Worship team, make your way up here. I want to get this last little piece here. When you give, Mark chapter 14, verse 9. Surely I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Really? Seriously? This act of this woman giving this alabaster box, this is kind of a thread for the gospel? Yes, it is. You may call it extravagant, but God calls it an example that until we've given everything that we have and we just bear it out there and we allow the fragrance of our giving and our worship to fill the room, we haven't worshiped yet. I got four things I want to tell you. They come in this order. When you give, always give your best. What? Always give your best. I know, and I've done it, and you have too. It's not an indictment, it's just a reality. It came time for offering time, and we, you know, our tithe is 10%, whatever, and we figured out to the penny. And God says, you should give $50 more this week. And we rebuke the devil. Yes, we do. Oh, I can't do that. We're going out to Oswego Grill. That's $50 right there. So you're going to put it in your belly and not in the offering plate. I'm going to get real, real. We need to stop thinking that we got it together and always give your best. When you think you've given your best, God knows what your best is. You don't. Number two, your generosity may impact the lives of others. I was not saying by demonstrating that lady that gave the $20 that got, you know, 50 times the amount that she had given. Said, oh, next time they get a chance, like, I'm going to put my $20 out. I'm going to hit the lottery. Really? I hope you get a parking ticket you can't pay. In Jesus' name. No, I mean, when you get all that crazy thinking, you know. Let me move on to number three, because I could tarry there unnecessarily. Okay. When you give, it will move the hearts of men to worship Jesus, the perfect giver. The fragrance filled the room, and if they were going to be impacted by it, that fragrance that really wasn't intended for them, but they get to be a recipient of what was fostered by Jesus originally. And here's the last one. When we give the way we're supposed to, it'll never be forgotten. You say, what do you mean? What does it mean, it'll never be forgotten? The Lord said that this is everywhere the gospel is preached, people are going to remember this. You say, how am I going to remember this? Was it because of the woman? No, it was because of the worship, the abandonment, the desire to really give. Everybody bow your heads. Everybody, everybody, everybody. I want to tell you what I'm sensing right now. The Holy Spirit is dealing with people today. And interestingly enough, it's not so much about sin as it is about the priority of worship. You say, well, wait a minute. Isn't this what we're supposed to do? You're supposed to have an altar call. People are supposed to repent of their sins and come to Jesus. Believe me. When we're ready to worship God, we'll throw sin out the door and say, my focus is on him and what he's already done for me. I have only one question for you. Would you like to abandon yourself and worship God with your whole heart? Then you know what that's going to take. That means everything that is contradictory to that, you'll have to let go of. You can't worship God double-minded. You can't worship God with an agenda that's not focused on him and all he's done. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song. And I'm not going to tell you why you're coming today, but I'll give you a couple of reasons why I would come. Number one reason is to get my relationship with God where it should be. And this may be a first-time thing for some people here today. And I want to tell you very simply this. If you leave your seat and you come down here, there'll be people that will talk with you, that will pray you through, that will lead you to Jesus. There are those of you here too who've fallen away from God. There'll be people who do the very same thing that for you. But there's other people that will come and say, you know what? I want to be able to come to church from this point on to totally abandon myself and to worship God with extravagant giving. And that means not putting a price tag on anything. Would you all lift your hands with me as we just give this benediction? Lord God, somehow worship from this point forward should be different. Without judgment toward people, we think they're just so recklessly abandoned, we just can't be a part of that. Lord, release us from that judgment attitude. And Lord, lead us to that place of the presence of your Holy Spirit in us, that when we come through these doors, that you'll be the final deciding factor as to how and how much and to what degree that we give ourselves monetarily, physically, emotionally, will come before you. Lord, I pray a blessing on every household represented here today as we celebrate you and God, all that you've done in our lives. I thank you and praise you and honor you and adore you and love you for all that you are to us. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.